Daniel chapter 12. What is that? Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Give us liberty to preach. Give us wisdom, O God. I pray you'd help us to speak to people's hearts and not just their heads. May we see the necessity. May we have a burden to do that which we're commanded to do in thy work. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you a little message tonight on soul winning. And give you 9 reasons to be a soul winner. Soul winning's pretty much a lost art, especially down here in the South. I don't know what it is. Down here, almost everybody goes to church or went to church or is a member of a church, whether they go or not, you know, or at least their family was a member of the church for the last 135 years. And a lot of times down in the South, even good church folks only go to church once a week. They just don't see any necessity to do any more than that. Well, my goodness, preacher, you don't want to give God the whole day, you know. And why go on Wednesday night? You know, I'm tired on Wednesday. And so it's always plagued me when I was up in Virginia and pastored up there. 99% of all our people showed up Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And the reason for that was, one, they were mostly young people. Two, most of them were saved. And three, they were all away from home. And so the church was family. And we stuck together. Down here, everybody's at home and got family. And church attendance, you never know down here who's going to show up on Sunday morning, much less Wednesday or Sunday night and stuff. I mean, it's just it's a grab bag. You prepare and pray and try to get a message together to preach, and then two-thirds of the people that the Lord laid on your heart don't bother to show up. Say, well, what happened? Well, you know, we had a family get-together, and Aunt Susie, twice removed, you know, decided to come down, and after all, we only get to see her 26 weeks out of the year, and they don't come.
That's right.
The baby was sick, you know. It threw up yesterday, and twice this week it had diarrhea, and we thought we'd better keep it home. Any excuse in the world is a good reason to stay out of church in the South. I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's a true indication of spirituality. But anyway, down here we have a hard time getting folks to church. And boy, if you think we have a hard time getting them to church, we have an awful time getting them to be soul winners. To invite folks to church, to witness for Christ, it's just a battle royal. Down South, the Southern Baptist Convention has ruined Christianity. And they've just about sent, this will be the third generation, straight to hell, right out of the church. And I'm not going to get off on the Southern Baptist Convention, even though it's a tempting idea. They have made it, philosophy of the church is, talking about the church membership, is that it's the pastor's job to win people to Christ. And we're to the point where we don't really expect him to go out and do anything. It's just whatever he can say from the pulpit. We need somebody to go visit the sick, bury the dead, marry the young, and pacify the sheep on Sunday morning. And that's about all church amounts to in the South anymore. And the concept of having a burden for the lost, the idea of actively working and witnessing to get the unsaved converted, is just almost an alien concept. Yet it is still a commandment of Scripture. And so tonight I want to talk to you about soul winning, and I'll give you 9 reasons why you ought to be a soul winner. Not the preacher. You know what? I read one time, and it stuck with me. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was conducting revival meetings. And he'd been there for 2 or 3 weeks. They didn't call them revival meetings. They called them protracted meetings because they'd go on for 6 or 8 weeks. They were long. Well, he'd been there 2 or 3 weeks, and finally one night some of the deacons and all came to Mr. Spurgeon, and they said, "Mr. Spurgeon, we have Mr. So-and-so over here, and he's a hard man. And we've witnessed to him off and on over the years, and we've never been able to get him to come to church or do anything. And we just feel like if you would go down and witness to him, we believe you can get him saved or get him in church." You know what Charles Spurgeon said? He said, "Okay." He said, "I'll go with him, but I'm not preaching." He said, "I can either pray and preach, or I can visit. But I can't do both. Now, if you want me to be the visitation pastor, I'll go visit. If you want me to pray and preach so I have the power of God, you go visit." And he didn't go. They know a preacher in 1,000 would do that today.
Amen.
Amen. And you don't have a preacher in 1,000 with any power. Amen. It's not the pastor's job to do the soul winning. It's not the pastor's job to do all. Now, he ought to be a soul winner. Please don't misunderstand me. And he ought to be willing to visit. But Paul said, we gave ourselves to prayer and fasting. He said, pick out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost to pray over this matter. For we will give ourselves to prayer and fasting. Now, if you want the fellow to do something and do it well, leave him alone so he can get done. So what does that mean? That means somebody else has got to do the soul winning. Amen. Let me give you 9 things. Number 1, if you're not a soul winner, you're going to disappoint Jesus. You're going to break His heart. So how do you know that? Because He died to save sinners. And God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're not a soul winner, you're going to disappoint the one that died on Calvary's cross to keep you out of hell. If you're not a soul winner, you're going to disappoint Jesus because it was good enough for you, but you don't think it's worthwhile for anybody else. Amen. I'm here to tell you, everybody ought to be a soul winner. If you don't, you're going to disappoint your Savior. I don't know about you, but I really don't want to disappoint Him. Now, I probably am a disappointment to Him, but the desire of my heart is to please Him. Amen. Amen. And that ought to be every Christian's desire. And if you're not a soul winner, you're going to disappoint Him because He came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. Number 2, if you're not a soul winner, some of your people that you love will go to hell. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be saved by God's grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, born again, regenerated, quickened by the Spirit, and all that stuff? And know that heaven is your home and have no fear of hell or any of that and have the peace of God inside and stand by and do nothing and watch your wife or your husband or your children or your grandchildren or your next door neighbor, your grandma and your grandpa and your aunts and uncles and everybody you care about, watch them day by day live their lives, grow old, die, and fall into the pit of the damned because you were too lazy, too ignorant, or too stupid to be a soul winner. What a tragedy. You end up in heaven, they end up damned because you and I wouldn't do what Jesus Christ told us to do. And don't give me all them excuses about, well, I'm not good at talking to people. Sure you are. You just want to talk about the soap operas. You just want to talk about golf. You just want to talk about football. You want to talk about computers. You want to talk about your vacation. You can talk to anybody about anything. You're just embarrassed to talk to them about God. That's the problem. You won't take the time to learn enough verses to talk to anybody about God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you're not a soul winner, some of the people you love are going to die and go to hell. We better get busy and get praying. We better get busy and get working. We better get busy and get witnessing, or some of the folks that you love the most are going to perish without God and without hope and spend eternity in a devil's hell. And you know whose fault's going to be? It's going to be yours. You say, well, preacher, I asked them about it one time and they told me they were saved. Listen, you can't believe people about stuff like that. Everybody's saved. You can talk to a guy sitting drunk on the street corner and they're saved. Go out to the prison, they're all saved. I see Mrs. Hensley and Brother Steve and Brother Lewis and I have a ministry to the saints in prison. Because everybody out there, ask them. You can't find anybody lost. Amen? Now, if you're not a soul winner, some of the folks you love are going to die and go to hell. And they don't have to if you do what God told you to do. I don't know about you, but I want all my young'uns in glory. I want all my grandkids in glory. And to be quite honest, I want all yours there too. Well, somebody got to get out and do the job then. Thirdly, if you're not a soul winner, you're aiding the devil. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to find out you live your life as a Christian serving the devil? Yeah, well, preacher, I never got drunk. I never run around. I wasn't immoral. I was a good person. I went to church regular. Yeah, but you was on the devil's side. Jesus said, you're either with me or against me. You either gather or you scatter abroad. Amen. Now, if you're not doing what the Lord said, if you're not trying to get folks saved, then you're helping folks get to hell. If Jesus is trying to get them saved and the devil's trying to get them damned and you're standing by doing nothing, whose side are you on? You know, in time of war, it's a treasonable offense to give aid and assistance to the enemy. I wonder what the Lord's going to think about it one of these days when we get home to glory and we say, and the Lord said, well, I gave you 30 years. You had a good mind. You could read and write. And you had a Bible and you never witnessed for me. You never passed out gospel tracts. You never invited anybody to church and you never led anybody to Christ. What did you do with all that time? Well, Lord, I just didn't feel like I was qualified. It made me nervous to be a witness. What if I told them something wrong? Hey, listen. If you don't tell them something, the devil will tell them plenty.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't talk, they're going to die and go to hell. And don't you know that if you've got enough guts to stand up and witness for Jesus Christ, you know, I've heard people tell folks stuff and get it all tangled up. I've heard them tell some bad stuff. I've seen soul winners say some stupid things. And you know what? It's amazing how God the Holy Spirit just interrupts, converts, translates, reinterprets, and fixes that thing up so when it gets to that guy's ear, it's just what he needs. I've heard people come back and say, you know, so-and-so witnessed to me, and I was sitting there and he read this verse, which didn't have nothing to do with nothing, and he said this, that, and the other, which he didn't say. I heard him. He said, and the Lord spoke to my heart and showed me this. And I thought, how in the world did that happen? God had to get between this guy's mouth and that guy's ear because nothing this guy heard came out of that guy's mouth. If you'll stand up and talk, even if you make a boo-boo, the Holy Spirit can straighten it out. It's amazing what He does. Amen? But if you don't, you're on the devil's side. I don't want to be on the devil's side. I hate that old sorry rascal. Amen? The devil's never done one good thing for me. He lied to me. I remember years and years ago, Sister Sue's mama got me to go visit this old Episcopalian lady. Sister Sue's mom had been witnessing this woman, I don't know, for months. And she couldn't quite get her saved. You know, an educated old woman, highbrow, upper crust, some doctor's wife. And so Mary Lou came and wanted to know if I'd go. So I went up there on a Sunday afternoon after church and sat down to talk to this old lady. She's real prim and proper. And we sat out on the back porch. And it was all fenced in, screened in and all that. We had tea. And I just asked the old lady, you know, I said, now listen. Because I knew Mary Lou had already been through the whole thing 57 times. I said, if I can show you from the Bible And I explained it, and she said, okay, if you can show me from the Bible that I'm not saved, or how to be saved and how to know it, she said, I'll do it. I said, okay. So we sat down with the Bible. It didn't take 15 minutes. And that old lady's eyes got open. And that old woman bowed her head and got saved that afternoon. She got up out of that chair and she was mad as an old wet sitting hen. I said, what's the matter with you? She said, my church. She said, for 68 years they've been willing to let me die and go to hell. They never told me the truth. She was mad at the Episcopal Church. Called all her children and told them to resign and get out of it. She did, man. What a blessing that was. Now, if you don't do that, whose side are you on? You're on the devil's side. If you'll talk, some people will listen. Number four, if you're not a soul winner, you'll miss a blessing. You'll miss a blessing. I'm here to tell you, buddy, when somebody gets saved and you're the instrument God uses, it's a blessing. My wife saw the Quillins recently. They came to our church for years. Brother Mark, Sister Sue, and I were on visitation one night and knocked on the door and told them who we were. And Miss Quillen, a little old bitty short thing, said, oh, we're glad to see you. We've been praying a preacher would come by. Isn't that what she said? So we've been praying a preacher would come by. And so we went in and sat down, and they had two or three little petty questions that amounted to nothing. And got answered those and got them out of the way, and then dealt with them folks about it, and both of them got saved. It's amazing. I mean, just first time we ever seen them, sit down and talk to them, and they both got saved. Now, I'm telling you something. We had us a blessing. That was a good time. We left there that night talking about, man, I had never had it so easy. Just two or three little old questions, bam, 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 and they got saved just like that. I thought, well, listen, we ought to have to talk to them for an hour anyway. Wouldn't we? You need to have to convince them. You need to have to show them. Man, that folks was ready. We didn't do nothing. Somebody had already plowed the ground and planted the seed, and it done took root, and we just come by and cut it off at the ground level. Amen. We got us a little harvest. I think we got in on somebody else's work. But it's a blessing. Amen. And I don't care who's claiming credit for up there. Me and Mark and Sue done it. Amen. It's a blessing. Then you get somebody saved and it'll thrill your soul. You invite somebody to church and they come down here several years ago now. Sister Kathy was working. This guy's Roger. Roger. Sister Kathy's, every time we come to church, Sister Kathy was telling us about this guy Roger she worked with. And she had witnessed to him and he had this question, he had that objection, blah, blah, blah. But she kept working on him and working on him and working on him. And she got him to come to church one Wednesday night. One time. And I forget what the message was that night, but when I saw Roger back there, I shook his hand, talked to him for a second. I just took my message and shredded it and turned it into a salvation message. Now, I'm good at doing that, buddy. I'll run a message in a minute if somebody there that's not saved. Amen? I can preach to y'all anytime. I figured I was going to get one shot at that guy. He's going to get it. So I took that message and turned around and made a salvation message out of it. And you know what? Old Roger got saved that night. Now, I'm here to tell you, Kathy Stewart got a blessing. Amen. She is a shouting and a crying and having a good old time. Amen? That old boy's still saved, ain't he? Yeah. Still going to church. Kind of. Yeah, got trouble with his wife, I understand. But what a blessing. My wife and I were visiting one night, and we stopped at this lady's house, and this little girl came to the door. I don't know, maybe, what, 8, 9 years old, something like that. And asked if we could talk to her mama. And her mama was busy trying to get dressed. Her mama was going out. She was going to leave that little girl at home. 10 to 1, that woman was divorced or her husband was at sea. I don't know which. But it wasn't a copacetic situation. Well, the little girl couldn't get her mama to the door. And so I stood there and talked to the little girl for a few minutes. Gave her a plan of salvation. Well, her mama finally came to the door. Wondered why the door was standing open. What was going on? And so I talked to her for a minute, and she wanted to get rid of us. But I wasn't going anywhere. We hadn't got nobody else's door open all night, and I had this one open, and I was staying. And so I talked to her a few minutes and went through the plan, and the lady wasn't interested. You know what that little girl? She looked up at her mama with tears in her eyes. And so here's what she said. Little girl, about 10 years old. She said, Mama, It sounds like everything he said is so to me. I thought, little girl's got a lot more sense than her mama's got. That was a blessing. Led that little old girl to the Lord. Didn't get her mama, but got that little. She said, "Mama," said, "everything he says sounds like the truth to me." I thought, what insight. A little old young'un. She recognized the truth, and it spoke to her heart. Now, that was a blessing. I could go on and on. I got all kind of stories about folks who got saved down through the years, and I've never seen anybody get saved where I didn't get a blessing out of it. I never seen you get anybody saved. I didn't get a blessing out of it. You get a blessing, I get a blessing, and they get blessed. That's a pretty good deal. Amen. If you're not a soul winner, you're going to miss a blessing. Number five, if you're not a soul winner, you miss a reward. Amen. There's a reward for being a soul winner. God got a big old box of prizes up there. And if you'll get people saved, he'll give you one. Seth came down to my house this morning, and I'm trying to study, and I work all week preparing sermon. I work on in my head. I usually jot stuff down. If you look at my notebook, the message this morning, I had notes all down it. I had notes up the side, and the stuff I got to take out because I got way too much, and I can't get it in an hour, and you got to rearrange it. And I write it down as it pops in my head, and sometimes I got to go back and number them. You know, this is one, that's two, that's four, and it just, I work on them. But I like to put it in my Bible last thing Sunday morning. I've got it on paper just like, but I write it down and write it out, put it in my Bible so that I've got that thing in my head so that when I preach it, pretty much it just comes right off the top of my head. I want it to be me. I want it to be spontaneous. I want to be familiar enough with it. I don't have to stammer and stumble over it. Amen? And so I'm down there working this morning and Seth comes down and he can see I'm studying and I'm working in my Bible. It didn't slow him down a bit. He come running over and he jerks this thing out of his pocket, little keychain thing. He said, "Pa, look what I won." I said, "I'm working here." He got a little reward for doing something yesterday. I don't know what it was. I never did get back around to find out why he got the little keychain with the little thing in it. But he was thrilled with it. He got a reward, a little prizey, for doing something. Probably for not getting in trouble, but whatever the reason, he got it. Now, I don't mind you, I like getting little things like that, don't you? I remember when my girls were growing up, a lot of times in the afternoon, I'd stop by the store, and I'd get a little candy or thing. I can't remember what kind it was now, but I used to get all kind of different stuff. And I would hide them. And then I would put notes. I'd hang a note from the ceiling in the shower. Wouldn't say it. When they go in and take a shower at night, here this note would be hanging. There's a surprise somewhere. Well, then they'd go looking, you know. And they would search, and I could hide them pretty good. And then they go look, and sometimes it's under the pillow or in the closet or up in their shoes. Or I probably do that 3-4 times a week sometime. They love that, finding them little prizes, getting them little gifts. Amen? How about you? But I like getting little gifts from God. I like getting blessings from the Lord. I like getting a reward from the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, when you lead somebody to Christ, there's a reward for you. You think you give a cold, drink of cold water to a prophet, to somebody in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. You lead somebody to Christ, I'm here to tell you, there's a reward for it. And when you get home to glory and God starts handing out the gold, the biggest prizes are for soul winners. And they that turn men into righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. God's going to put you on display one of these days. You ever wanted to be a star? I was watching Kristen this morning. She was singing some song and she's got a flair for the dramatic. Now, I know where she got it. She got it in Jackie Jaws. That's what we call Samantha when she's little, because she never shut up. The child talks in her sleep. So does Kristen. Anyway, what was I talking about? Got to reminisce in there. Yeah. You flair for the dramatic. Yeah. Talking about shining. Listen, you ever want to be a star? You ever dream you was the hero? Amen. Listen, let me tell you how to be a star. You know, little old stars out in Hollywood, them things ain't nothing. They ain't nobody.
Amen.
Most of them just a bunch of drunk dope heads. You want to be a real star? Be a soul winner. And they that turn men into righteousness shall shine as the stars forever. You can light up the firmament of heaven one of these days with your glory that God will give you for being a soul winner. God's pretty committed to this soul winning thing. Number six. If you're not a soul winner, your church won't grow. Amen. It'll be our four and no more forevermore. I'll be honest with you, I'd like to see some new faces.
Amen.
I'd like to see some new blood. I'd like to see some folks get saved. I'd like to see some folks get on fire. I'd like to see some young folks in the church. And it's not going to happen if you and I are not faithful and diligent to be a witness. Every week you ought to be inviting somebody to church. Every week you ought to be put out gospel tracts. Every week you ought to be trying to be a witness. You ought to tell lost folks how to get saved. You ought to learn how to do it and memorize you some verses. Kristen came down to the house the other day and she said, "Paul, let me show you what I did." And what it was, Ryan read Jack Hyle's book on soul winning. And Kristen couldn't stand it, so she had to get it and read it. Well, it's okay with me. I let her read it too. It's not on the restricted list at our house. I even let Seth read it if he ever gets around to it. But she wanted to read it, so she read it. Well, when she got through reading it, she went and got her little Bible, and in the back she put down the Romans Road. And she came down, she wanted me to see what she had done. Well, I was proud of her. Of course, I showed her a better way to do it, and we made her a chain through there, you know. Helped her out a little bit. But she was excited about being a soul winner. She read that book and that thing spoke to her heart. And she wants to get somebody saved. I don't know about your kids, but our kids could not wait for this Saturday to get here. They were excited about going. And it wasn't just about getting to play games afterward. They were looking. I'm going to tell you, I'll say embarrass my kids, but they'll get over it and they'll forgive me because I'm Pawpaw. And Pawpaws can get away with anything. Pretty much. They were so excited about going soul winning. They had both worked out the Romans Road of Plan of Salvation, had it in their Bible, memorized the verses. Then they practiced on each other. They led each other to the Lord all week at my house. I thought that was wonderful. They came down there this morning. Seth couldn't say, he said, "This little Chinese woman promised to come." They were so excited, and he really believed she was coming. I was hoping she would. I prayed all week, "Lord, give them fruit for their labor. Encourage them, encourage them. Give them something to encourage them that they'll want to do it again and again and again." And I'll tell you, nothing to encourage them. One, like success. Two, like seeing some of us old folks do something. If you don't bring them in, it'll be our four no more. And somebody will get mad and leave, and we'll be one short. And then somebody will grow up and move out of town, and we'll be one short. And somebody will get old and sick and die, and we'll be... Pretty soon there won't be anybody here. If we're not soul winners. Now, I can't do it all. I can't pray and prepare and preach and do all I need to do and then do all the soul winning and all the visiting. I'm telling you, it takes everybody doing what God called them to do, and God called you to be a soul winner.
Amen.
Brother Lewis doing a great job of organizing it and trying to get people motivated and make it interesting and worthwhile, and got the little things to give away to reward you for your service. He's doing his part. Now we need somebody to participate.
Amen.
Amen. He can't do it for you. We need soul winners lest our church die. Then number seven. If you're not a soul winner, you are disobeying a commandment. So what commandment's that? The 11th commandment, of course. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Amen. People say, "Well, I just don't feel like I'm called to be a soul winner. That's not my ministry." You're too stupid to breathe.
everybody's ministry. Everybody's ministry is to be a soul winner. How many of y'all remember that message I preached on the firehouse? Where I used the illustration of a firehouse. And I think Lewis was the fire chief, and Tommy greased the poles, and Mark drove the fire truck, and Ryan does the hoses. And of course, I rehearsed it with Lewis because I didn't want to get mad and beat me up, because I knew I was going to holler at him. I said, "Now, Tommy, what's your job?" He said, "Greasing the pole." And Brother Mark, "What's your job?" "Driving the truck." And Ryan, "What's your job?" "Folding the hoses." And Lewis, "What's your job?" He said, "I'm the fire chief." I said, "No." I said, "What is your job?" And Lewis stood up. He said, "I'm the fire chief." I said, "What are you two? Are you retarded? I mean, something wrong with you? What is your job?" He said, "I'm the fire chief." I said, "No, it's not your job. Your job is to put out fires." His job is to put out fires. 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 His collateral duty is to grease the pole, manage the fire department, fold the hoses, drive the truck. But every one of them, their job. Those are your position, but your job. Get folks saved. Number 8. If you're not a soul winner, you limit the joy in heaven. The Bible said there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Every time you get somebody saved, they holler hallelujah, good time up there. I wish we could keep them in stitches. Amen. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Every time somebody turns from their sin and turns to God, the angels in glory throw up their hands and have a hallelujah shouting spell. It's like camp meeting week in glory when somebody gets saved. So why are they so excited? Because they see the big picture. They see the price that sin demands. The wages of sin is death. They see the price that was paid for our deliverance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Christ died on Calvary's cross that we might live. They see the result of salvation, a new creature created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God before ordained that we should walk in them. And they see the future of the redeemed. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And so when the angels see that a man or a woman, a boy and girl, has been saved by God's grace, and they're no longer headed to hell, but now they're a child of the King and fitted out for heaven, they rejoice. They say, "He died not in vain for Lewis Steele. He died not in vain for Tommy Stewart. He died not in vain." And that makes heaven rejoice. When you're not a soul winner, you diminish or take away from the joy in heaven. Doesn't it bother you when somebody takes away your joy? You say, "You know, we're having a real good time until so-and-so showed up." "Oh, so-and-so, every time he comes around, boy, he puts a damper on everything." I don't want to put a damper on the party in heaven. And number 9, last but not least, if you're not a soul winner, you help to populate hell. Now listen, you have to understand that when God commanded you to be a soul winner and go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He did that knowing that if we would, some would be saved. Not all, but some. But He also knows that if we don't go, the some that could won't. So there are going to be more people in hell than should be there, that had to be there, if we're not soul winners. They're not preordained. There's no predestination to heaven and hell. They have a free will, and you have a commandment, and you're talking, you're witnessing. If you do it with the power of the Holy Spirit, has an impact, and that's the method God uses to save men and women, boys and girls, from a devil's hell. And if we don't do it, they don't get saved from a devil's hell. So if you don't, if you're not a soul winner, you not only limit the joy in heaven, you help to populate hell. Does the idea not bother you that somebody might burn, somebody might be tormented, somebody might be banished from the presence of God forever and ever and ever and ever, all because I was too busy or too lazy or too intimidated to obey Christ's commandment to preach the gospel to every creature? Are you a soul winner? So, preacher, I try, but I've never... Listen, the result isn't up to you. That's not what... God didn't give you a quota. But the effort, you can make the effort. And that's what God honors. And I'm here to tell you, you make the effort long enough, faithful enough, you'll get one sooner or later. But if we don't make the effort, don't want any of them get saved. Now we have a big Sunday coming up, Easter Sunday. Everybody wants to show off their new dress and look all pretty. I don't know what it is. All the ladies want a new Easter dress and a new Easter bonnet and all that stuff. And that's fine with me. I like for the ladies to look good. Amen. I like all ladies to wear makeup, nice dresses, and expensive perfume. Amen. Why bring an ugly woman in here if you can pretty her up? Why make her smell like Lifebuoy if you can make her smell like Obsession, you know? I mean, if you need a little fixing up, help yourself. So if you want a new dress for Easter and you want to fix up and strut, okay. And I think this is the very place to do it right here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And of course, I think every lady ought to be escorted by her husband or somebody close. So you know what we need to do? We need to get out there and witness. We need to get out there and invite. We need to get out there and work and labor. We ought to take advantage of the holiday. Now, you know, I'm not big on Easter. Easter is a pagan holiday. Got nothing to do with God. If we were going to have a holiday at all, it would have to be a Jewish holiday called the Passover. See? But I'll use any excuse to invite folks to church. I take advantage of Christmas. I think Santa Claus is an abomination. You couldn't pay me to put a Christmas tree in my house. But if the heathen are going to do it anyway, use it. Say, listen, you know, we're having a big Christmas service. Why don't you come on down? We're having a big Easter service. Why don't you come on down? And they get down here and we'll preach Jesus to them. Amen. So, this next week, we've got, 6 more days? Let's get out and invite folks. Say, listen, it's Easter. Why don't you come? I'll bring a special Easter message. You bring them this Sunday, and I promise, by the grace of God, to preach a salvation message on the theme of Easter and the resurrection. You get out there and say, listen, our preacher is all fired up about it, and he's promised a special message, and boy, you ought to come hear it. Amen. Get out there and tell them, listen, this is the last Sunday of our vicious campaign for this corner, and I need to win. Help me pack my pew. Help us fill out the house. Take them to dinner. Listen, if you'll come to church, we'll take you to Porky Mort. No, I don't tell them that. They won't come. promising something. Let's get out this next week and obey the commandment. All you grown-ups, all you men, all you ladies, all you young people, let's take advantage of this week and promote Easter and Sunday and all that and use anything that's honest and moral and legitimate and work and work and work. Let's be soul winners this week. Let's be a witness for Jesus Christ and fill up God's house. Make Brother Lewis feel like a big success. Make me proud of him. Make Jesus happy.
Amen.
We ought to be, me and you, we ought to be soul winners. God expects it. Christ deserves it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. I pray, Lord.